back to Legally Judgy Podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Alexa.
What's going on, girl?
All right. I'm just going to be straightforward. I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is your official policy on catfishes?
No.
No.
Like, I'm not into them?
It's your policy?
Yeah.
I've been watching The Circle on Netflix.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, I tried to start watching season one and it just did not do it for me.
You have to give it a couple episodes.
It was really bad.
You have to give it a couple episodes.
I'm watching Handmaid's Tale right now, so we'll come back to it another time.
That's a very different vibe.
Super depressing, but go ahead.
Okay, so the concept, right? I feel like it's quarantine specific.
Okay.
Okay, because you have, what, I think six people in separate apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose to come in as yourself or a catfish.
Okay.
And then you are supposed to talk to each other through social media, essentially like a group text.
So you don't see each other.
You never see each other.
Okay.
It's all through text. Okay. And they all like text through their TVs. And then the person who is the most liked wins $100,000 by the end.
Okay.
So I got to thinking, if I were to enter this game, would I go in as myself and try to make me be the most liked? Or would I go as a character and then try to make that character the most liked so I could win the 100K?
So what did you decide?
I don't think I'm very likable, so I'm definitely going to have to go as somebody else.
You probably need a catfish.
I probably need a catfish, which is why I was going to ask you. Would you go in as yourself or would you catfish?
I'd go in as myself. I feel confident about who I am and my likability.
So you're just going to be really fake to get people to like you?
I'm not fake.
No, I'm saying
people like me as I am. Thank you.
You're just going to start insulting them and then that's going to work for you?
It's endearing for some.
I could be a version of me, but I'd be a much nicer version of me.
Who would your catfish be then?
I got to be me. I couldn't keep up the lies. That's the catfish, they always get called out because there's something about them that gives it away. For example, this guy posed as a friend who was a girl. And there was a competition and they had to put makeup on a dummy.
Okay.
And he was fooling everybody. Everybody thought he was a girl.
Okay.
Right? As soon as they did this competition with the makeup, they have to like take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets uploaded to their group chat.
Mm-hmm.
His makeup was so terrible. Everybody was like, that's a guy. It's a catfish. No way that this young girl who has makeup in her pictures, not full on, but enough, would do such a shit job out. See, I couldn't do that.
It's interesting to me that he wanted to be like a girl though.
He thought by being like a nice girl next door that everyone would like her more.
Got it. And so then he would stay till the end and then win the money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, it's like there's nothing romantic involved then, seemingly. Like
not at all.
Is not like a couple's like making matches. Interesting.
Nope. I think you would like it. There's some deception. There's some lies. There's some bonding. There's some friendship.
Hmm.
A woman, you would like this. A woman posed as her husband and played the single father.
Okay.
Because she was like, my husband's really good looking, right? Yeah. I'm going to play the single dad. And she just played up her husband. She knows him so well, right?
Okay.
She's doing well.
Okay.
She has her little notebook with all the sports. I thought they were going to get her.
With all the sports.
Yeah, because they asked a sports question. And she got it. She's still in.
I mean, everybody loves like a single dad.
Exactly. So that's why I asked you.
All right. Well,
watch it.
Okay. I'll consider it.
All right. Great. How are you?
Handmaid's Tale's done. Good. I've been continuing my YouTube journeys.
Oh.
So this week I was looking at lots of hotel videos. I really need a vacation, as you know, desperately.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
And so I've just been looking up resorts. And so I stumbled across the new Pharrell Hotel, which is in Miami.
Oh,
it's called like Good Times or something. I can't remember what it is.
That makes sense.
It's like him and David Grubman, but it's super, super cool. It's very like old retro Palm Springs vibes.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm just planning that. So get ready. Pack your bags.
You're going to invite me.
We're going on vacay.
Are we going to go on your private jet that seats 16 people?
Yes. Taking the PJ.
All right. Great. All right. Well, speaking of PJs riches and wealth and PJs
islands,
and
go for it.
And our ability to not pay for them brings us to our guy of the episode. So our story today begins with a guy named Billy McFarlane from Jersey.
Dirty Jers. People from the East Coast call it Dirty Jers.
I've never heard that.
Well, you're not from the East Coast.
I'm definitely not. I wish I was. I wish I was from New Jersey so I could be friends with the Jersey Shore cast. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So our boy Billy, in 2013, he started a card-based membership club called Magnesis, which was targeted at millennials.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the people, they would get a card that was like pretended to be a credit card, but it wasn't actually a credit card. They wanted it to be appealing like the black card.
Yeah.
But it didn't really do anything. I mean, it did, but it copied like your Chase credit card or your Bank of America credit card. It was no different. It was just like a substitute for that, right?
Yep.
And in exchange, they would get like special perks, in mm-hmm. quotations, like VIP access to events, restaurants, hotel discounts, clubs, right?
Preview. I wonder if Pharrell's hotel was included.
Probably, you would think, and then you'd get there and Pharrell would be like, get the fuck out.
Get off my fucking property.
Right. Little preview, it really sucked. Billy claimed that it had a $90 million valuation, but it later came out that at most he did like $60,000 worth of business. But anyway, to promote Magnesis, he would throw these fucking ragers, right? These parties and events for people to mingle, and celebrities would come through. Mm-hmm. One of them being Ja Rule. I don't know if you remember him.
Ja Rule.
But that's like childhood.
Remember when Ashanti sang that?
Yeah, but what's the Ja Rule part?
Oh, fuck. I can't remember which.
We're getting old.
Okay, just go ahead. I'm dating myself.
It was 52 years ago. So fast forward a bit. Billy starts Fire Media, a company that is, you know, allegedly develops this Fire mobile app that's supposed to be used to book music talent.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2016, to promote the Fire app, Billy and Ja Rule team up, because what better duo is there than...
than a white guy from Dirty Jersey and Ja Rule.
Exactly. That's like, fuck you, Batman and Robin. We got Billy and Ja. So they team up to conceive this luxurious two-weekend-long music festival in the Bahamas. Would you go? Sounds amazing.
Well, my family's in the Bahamas, so I would definitely go.
Okay, great. Well, it's called the Fire Festival. It didn't turn out so well, so go visit the family. Don't go to this festival. And the planners actually coined it the cultural experience of the decade.
I just have so many questions. Like, Ja Rule, what were you doing in life that you,
yeah,
like, came out of a shell and from, like, out under a rock? You're like, I'm going to play in a music festival in the Bahamas.
Right, right.
Like, it just all felt very random. It feels very random to me.
Did you like that picture I texted you of them this morning?
It was great.
It's so random.
I don't even remember what that was in response to, but I laughed. I chuckled for a good couple seconds.
I think you asked me how I was.
I asked how dinner was. You sent me a picture of the two of them, and I was like, okay, good morning.
Because what a random duo. You have Ja Rule, who, I don't know, whatever, like you said. Okay.
Well, so what happened? So the festival was scheduled to happen basically end of April and early May in 2017.
Okay.
And so the promotion, like all the promotional stuff around it and the website says it'll be at this place called Fire K.
Sounds cool.
Which is a private island that was supposed to have been owned by Pablo Escobar, mm-hmm. who is the leader of the Medellin cartel.
Yeah.
And so it turns out this is a lie. It's like this fictional place, but we'll get back to that. So in in reality, the Fire Fest was originally going to take place at this place called Norman's Cay, which was indeed a private island. And it was previously owned by another kingpin of the Medellin cartel, but he was like a nobody, like a no-namer.
All right, so they're stretching the truth a little bit. Deal with this.
Well, the issue is that, like, everybody knows who Pablo is and nobody knew who this guy was. So they just kind of embellished it to like make it more marketable.
Like Los Chapitos?
Like, well, yes, well, we know who Los Chapitos are.
Only because we know who El Chapo is.
Fair.
Okay.
Fair.
Sorry,
Los Chapitos. So Billy and Ja Rule basically enter into a lease with the owners of this private island to throw the festival. And so they're allowed to shoot promo footage there, but the contract specifically says that they can't mention Pablo in any of the marketing materials.
Okay. So, of course, they don't.
Naturally, right? They're law-abiding citizens. Haha, you'll hear about that. So, of course, they basically included Pablo's name in the promo, and the owner has terminated the lease. So they've kicked them off the island, literally like mid-promo shoot. And so then they have to go back to the main island and try and figure out like another location to basically have the festival.
Yeah.
And so as they're trying to secure alternate locations, they're turned down several times by the Bahamian authorities.
Okay. No luck.
Wonder why.
They don't like them.
They probably just saw them and were like, doesn't feel right.
Like, get out of here.
Something's off here.
We don't trust you.
Right. So they finally secure land on this other island called Great Exuma, which is, they basically find it less than 2 months before the festival is set to begin. And so they have to hire workers to build literally everything out, right? Because they need state. It's supposed to be like, I mean, if you've ever been to like a proper music festival, there's multiple stages.
Sure. Yeah.
So they have to build the stages and they have to build the vendor stations and all of that.
Right.
In 2 months. I just want to level set that.
Got that.
So that all happens. They find the new location, but they basically keep saying that it's Pablo's private island because they're obviously trying to get people to like buy into this and be super excited. And they even went as far, I heard, as altering maps to make the site look like a private island, even though it really ends up being a parking lot behind the Sandals Resort.
Sandals Resort?
Remember Sandals? Remember they used to have all those commercials when we were kids?
Isn't that where Michael Scott went?
Yes, with Jan.
Yeah. So they were hanging out with Michael Scott, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's from The Office, in case anybody doesn't know what show we're referring
great
to.
Great episode.
You should definitely, if you haven't, watch The Office.
That's a great episode,
season
by
one,
the way.
Not the strongest, but like, mm-hmm. yes, he comes back with the little beads in his hair. And then doesn't he try to like recreate that atmosphere there? And he's like, Stanley.
Yeah.
Not appropriate. I shouldn't be the one saying that, but it's a terrible Sorry. Episode. It's The Office. But anyway, all right, we digress.
So as they're planning this out, they, you know, only had a few weeks to go. And so Billy is told by like these concert festival professionals that he had hired to consult that it's going to cost over $50 million to make the festival happen the way that they want it to. And that they'll basically need a full year to plan because, again, you have to like build everything. Right. You have to get the talent, et cetera. So naturally, they decide to try and do it in the 2 months without anything near $50 million. And so this seems promising, but
right,
kind of spins out.
I think, you know, in fairness to Billy, he tried. I read that he did secure a $4 million loan. So, you know, we're inching up there.
Close.
Close to that 50. We're at four. But most of it actually ended up being spent on fancy offices in Tribeca, in New York. And apparently, Billy was in talks with this company who was going to possibly invest $25 million in his Fire app, right? That's the whole purpose of this festival, to promote his app. Mm-hmm. But they actually declined like a few days before the festival was supposed to happen because...
Could you imagine? I'm sure his stomach like sank to his ass when he got that email.
And can you, like, what would $25 million do like 2 days before the festival? That's certainly a lot of money, but that's not enough time to fix everything, right?
I guess if you're on the hook for obligations to people after the fact, okay, or if it's true. Like, hey, I'm going to pay you after the performance, then like getting the 25 2 days before is probably actually fine.
That's fair. Well, unfortunately, they didn't give him the 25 million. I know that's shocking.
Didn't work out.
he failed to provide evidence that his app was worth, you know, the millions of dollars that he claimed it was worth.
Shocking.
Are we shocked? Okay. I was just going to ask if we were shocked. You already answered it for me. Thank you.
Well, so the festival, I mean, it actually sounded like it could have been promising.
Girl, if I had an extra $12,000 lying around, it would have got me.
$12,000. Yeah, I'm not spending $12,000 in this shit, but you guys tell us after you listen. So basically, it's highly publicized by the likes of Kendall Jenner, Bella Hadid, Hailey Baldwin, Emily Ratajkowski, and other influencers. And so only Emily disclosed that it was an ad in her social media post.
Smart girl.
Literally a smart woman.
Smart.
Good for you, girl, because you're really not even, like, you would think that Kendall and Bella and Haley would know these things, given that they're literally just influencers, but fine.
Right.
And then one promo video basically shows Bella and other models running around this beach, like, with yachts and jet skis and music behind them. And then the text with the video basically promises, quote, an immersive music festival, two transformative weekends on the boundaries of impossible.
Well, I mean, it was impossible.
Impossible is the
it was
right
literally
word.
Literally impossible. Yeah. We just meant it in two different ways. Mm-hmm. So maybe that wasn't false advertising. Mm-hmm. It was like, it's impossible to give you this experience.
Accurate. It's just like the Chloe bikini picture.
Right.
Ooh. Bringing that back. Go listen.
And then there were, okay, to your point, it did sound really cool. There's these performers that are supposed to be there from around, like, what, how many? 30 artists now? They're in Blink 182 supposed to be there. Migos.
I'm still listening to Blink 182.
All the small things. Okay, anyway. Major Lazer. That's more up to date. Migos, I would have been happy with Migos.
For sure. They were like super cool back then.
Right. So people start paying these tickets. They're like between $1,000 and $12,000.
Crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. Apparently they even sold to as many as 8,000 tickets. Can you imagine?
That's so much money that they like were reeling in.
And they're supposed to stay in these luxury accommodations, right? That's how they're able to sell at such high prices. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be in these fancy villas like glamping, the only type of camping that I would really do. And they're supposed to get this high-end, like, Stephen Starr cuisine, right? Like gourmet meals. So they're just
amazing. I mean, maybe you do pay $12,000 if you're thinking, like, I'm going to have Stephen Starr food and a whole glamping experience and, like, a weekend full of concerts.
Yeah, it's right.
I mean, it's like an all-inclusive vacation, kind of. I don't know.
For a weekend. I mean, and we would not be doing this. No, but, yeah, no. If you have money to burn, why not?
If you're paying, if you're, like, using daddy's money.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then they end up telling people that the event is going to be cashless and cardless. Don't even worry about it. Don't bring any money. Don't bring any credit cards. We're going to give you digital bracelets that are going to be basically stand-ins for money.
Convenient.
And all you have to do is prepay. Start giving us money
just
now.
Send us all your money now.
We're going to register them on your digital bracelets that you're going to use throughout the concert, right? Mm-hmm. Easy. Convenient. Right. Well, the reason why they actually offered this was because Billy, our boy Billy, right? He had to get to that $50 million. He took out a short-term loan just 2 weeks before the event that required him to pay back $500,000 within 16 days.
What loan are you even taking that has that fast of a turnaround time?
It's a guy with a trench coat.
That's it what takes I that you. Long to put together a contract.
It's like the mob, you know? It's like it's a loan shark for
that
sure.
That feels shady.
It did work, though, I think, because he ended up getting $2 million from the attendees.
Wow.
But apparently only 40% of these funds went to paying off that loan. So who knows what happened to the rest?
Well, okay, so...
How'd it go?
Promising. Not.
He pulled it off, right?
So a few days before, basically, all the artists start to pull out, and they're saying that they're not sure they can give fans the quality performance they deserve, which I think they were probably reaching out, like being like, okay, what are the logistics? Mm-hmm. Like, do you have the mics that we need and the speakers? Right. And like, send us pictures of the stage so we can do layout lighting. And all that. And they're like... Here's a drawing of what we want it to look like. And you're like,
it's a picture of the Sandals parking lot, Michael Scott, like,
and Jan.
Yeah. Just partying in the background.
With like the restaurant behind.
Like with coconuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all the artists get whatever they got and start to pull out. And it even comes out that Major Lazer was like really never confirmed to even appear.
Oh, good.
And I'm not really sure how publicized these statements were by the artists, because ultimately hundreds of people began arriving on April 27th, which was like a day or two before the festival is scheduled to start.
First weekend, yeah.
Yeah. And so they're getting there in all these chartered planes.
Fancy.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
I have no access to a chartered plane.
That's dream.
But for you.
To be clear, you don't want to go to a vacant Sandals resort.
No, I'm good.
On your PJ.
They got off the chartered plane to total chaos.
Okay.
So basically, they get dumped at this like impromptu beach party, which is at a restaurant near the Sandals resort, which could be cool. You know, like maybe you get off and you're like... High energy, you're like, cool pregame, let's have a couple drinks.
Love a good pre-party.
A couple drinks turns into 6 hours of the party planners trying to keep these people distracted away from like what's really happening.
Right.
So of course at a certain point people are like, okay, I flew all day, like I've been drinking all day, I want to go to my villa and get my Steven Starr dinner start to unwind.
Right.
And so eventually the organizers are basically forced to take people to the grounds.
Yeah.
So like,
the grounds look great.
Yeah.
The organizers basically take them to shit grounds, for lack of a better term. The weather, first of all, is terrible. In the days preceding, they got hit by storm after storm, right? So it's just rubble and trash and mud. The accommodations, those villas, are FEMA disaster relief tents with soaked mattresses and dirt on the ground. Mm-hmm. Real quick, I would just love to see the faces on somebody who paid $12,000. Like, I don't want what happened to happen then, but I just wish I could just see that face.
I just would have silently cried. Like, I just would have stood there and, like, had tears just streaming down my face.
Right, this is the mascara. We don't even wear mascara, just the mascara is still coming down. The food, your Steven Starr, not so much. I think you remember that infamous cheese sandwich in the styrofoam, like, little tray.
And, like, 3 pieces of lettuce.
Yeah, it was like... I actually looked at that and I was like, I'm lactose intolerant. What would I do with
someone
that?
Consider it.
I'd have like a lettuce sandwich. Yeah. That'd be the saddest thing. And they didn't even have running water. And
so gross.
There were only like porta potties. And apparently there were only like one porta potty for like every 100 yards or so.
Well, because I think a bunch of them got blown over in the weather, like you said. And they couldn't like turn them back up.
Yeah, if you want to go in sideways, there's that. There's feral dogs roaming the site.
Fun.
So defend that cheese sandwich to the death. No cell phone service, no Wi-Fi. It's shoddy, right? The storms. It's also like an island. Like you said, it's not like this high-tech city metropolitan area. And then, of course, like you said, there's no artists, models, or celebrities. So that, you know, that promo video... Not there.
At first, when I pictured, like, all of this kind of being just total chaos, I pictured all these kids being like, Daddy, I need to get out of here. And then you think there's, like, no Wi-Fi service. They were definitely sobbing.
Right. It's like Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
When they lose their money the first day.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
So the entire festival basically ends up being called off the same day. At first, they try to say it was due to the poor weather, which is hilarious because clearly there were a few things more than bad weather stopping this thing from happening.
Right.
But the organizers basically flee the island as soon as they cancel it.
Ja Rule wasn't there trying to help people?
I don't even know if Ja Rule ever came. He may have been sent pictures in advance with Major Lazer and was like, no, fuck this.
Right.
So the organizers literally flee the island, leave the attendees there. And so basically the investors and the local businesses and workers are like stranded there trying to figure out how to clean up this fucking disaster.
Messed up.
And so the Firefest website posts a statement saying, in quotes, due to circumstances out of our control.
Okay.
Just want to stick on that point.
It was the weather, Nicole.
Yes, yeah.
The stages were built, and then the weather just took it all out.
Took everything. It was gone.
Feral dogs came in.
Due to circumstances out of our control, The physical infrastructure was not in place on time. We were unable to fulfill on that vision safely and enjoyably for our guests.
Okay.
And then they claim that they're working on arranging planes for free.
Okay, that's nice.
Super sweet of them, right?
Okay.
Super hospitable.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
To get the people off the island. So they're asking for, like, patience and cooperation, and adding that, of course, they'll provide regular updates via email and social media, which is super helpful given that there's literally no cell phone service or Wi-Fi.
I wonder how many people even saw this statement there. Like, who would be checking the Firefest website at this point to be like, I wonder what they're going to do. Right. Let me look for my local update. My favorite part was that, this is very dark, but the Bahamian government issues an order apparently banning planes from landing at the airport until the next day, and they put the area on lockdown because
so fucked.
Billy failed to pay customs duty taxes on the items that he imported. So the people are stuck there. Hundreds of people. Like 500 people.
I'm at a loss for words.
Are stuck at these campgrounds, in quotes, right? But we've talked about it. There's no proper lodging, and there's really no way to leave the island, so they're stranded.
Right.
And it's peak season because people are traveling.
Yeah.
And, in case you were ever interested, it was the same weekend as the annual Exuma Regatta. Hopefully I said that so fancy correctly.
Regatta.
I was trying to be fancy for once.
Put the right emphasis on it.
It's a Bahamian sailing race series, which is very popular there. And all the hotels are booked. Mm-hmm. All the resources are taken up because right. everybody is excited for the sailing race. So nobody can get access to hotels. Mm-hmm. And like we said, the campgrounds have a bunch of problems. But to give our listeners a little bit more color, because I don't think we've really given the full extent of how terrible this was, people are fighting over tents and beds. There weren't enough. There weren't even enough FEMA tents for everybody. So people are fighting over that.
All I have is a vision of Mean Girls in my head. You know that fight where like...
yeah, where all of the girls start fighting.
They're fighting over the crown.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looked like.
It's like cats and dogs in the jungle.
Okay, literally, that's what it looked like. People's bags are getting stolen, right? Their luggage. There's no lighting. Again, like you said, there's no cell or Wi-Fi service. There's no running water. There's like a lack of medical personnel and event staff. They just like deuces, like, right? They didn't get their pay. So they're like, we're out. No, I don't know. They're understaffed. And then it's all exacerbated by the fact that, like we said, it was supposed to be cashless. Mm-hmm. And so they're supposed to be using these digital bracelets, which don't even work because they're only supposed to be used at the festival campground. So they can't even access the money that they previously deposited.
What would you even use the money for, though, right? If the sandals, because obviously I'm sure everybody wanted to stay there, but that sounded like it was fully booked out. All of the other hotels were booked out. So like, even if you had cash, then what?
You're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
You're just screwed all around. But I'm sure I would feel more vulnerable if I had no cash.
For sure.
Well, first of all, I would never not have cash or credit card.
We're not stupid. That's why.
Yeah. Well, street smart. No offense, guys. Sorry you didn't bring cash. And then when people are actually able to get on a plane, the flight ends up being canceled, like one of the first flights out.
Right.
And they're locked in the airport with no food, water, or air conditioning.
Crazy.
And then they end up leaving the next morning and had additional flights throughout the day. But like, hey, that was a really terrible 24 hours.
I mean, at that point, it's like days later for some people because they obviously couldn't get all 500 people off that first day when the planes open back up. But it's also like, to your point, like after they've been sleeping on like dirt ground and like not being able to find food and no AC and the feral dogs are roaming. So somebody might have rabies. Like,
watch that cheese sandwich.
Crazy fucking time. But so, unsurprisingly, basically within days of this debacle, multiple lawsuits are filed, but the biggest one was an $100 million class action, which was brought in May 2017.
Okay.
And so, what's a class action?
I was going to say, what's a class action?
Why are you talking at the same time as me?
I'm asking you what a class action is.
Oh my God, fine.
You're going to ask yourself the question out loud? That's weird. Do you usually do that? Nicole.
So what girl, what do you think today?
I was trying to make it conversational, but yeah, if you want to talk to yourself.
I mean, I like talking to myself sometimes. Okay, ask me the question.
Nicole, what's a class action lawsuit? Did that sound natural?
Trying to give you a chance. So a class action lawsuit is basically a lawsuit that's brought by a group of people who are represented collectively. Okay. And so the standard is that they all have the same or at least very similar injuries that are caused by the same event or action or issue, and they're all suing the same party or parties.
Okay.
So here we've got all of these people in this class action. The injury is that, you know, they went to this festival, or that's the event, the injury, whatever. They went to the festival. Mm-hmm. Nothing was the way that it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And they're now all suing collectively as a group, Billy McFarland and the Fyre Festival company team, et cetera.
Right.
And so here there were 277 ticket holders specifically.
In this class action.
Yes. Okay. That sued.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah. That sued Billy, Fyre Festival, which included their CMO, the chief marketing officer, and then Ja Rule.
Poor Ja.
And so the lawsuit alleges that the event was dangerously under-equipped and posed a serious danger to anyone in attendance. And they bring some of the following claims. So the first one is fraud. And so fraud basically means wrongful or criminal deception intended to result in financial or personal gain. So here, the fraud was that it was supposed to be this like luxurious weekend experience, right?
And the fraud is the last 20 minutes of this episode. Go listen.
It was clearly not luxurious at all.
Yeah, you told me it was going to be this Bella Hadid yacht, jet ski concert situation, and it was anything but that.
Yep.
That is the fraud. Okay, so then another one, breach of contract, which basically means a failure to perform a promise in a contract, right? And so the promise here was when the Billy and the Fyre people told people to, hey, give us your money in advance. We'll give you these digital bracelets. And in return, you're going to be able to spend your money on things at the event. Because they weren't able to actually use that digital bracelet and the money went away, it was a breach of contract because they have to, when you buy your tickets, you know, there's like a terms of service and things that you'll get in exchange. This is the breach of contract.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
All right. So what else we got?
So we've got the breach of covenant of good faith. And so that basically means there's an implied obligation that assumes that parties in a contract will act in good faith and deal fairly with one another without breaking their word.
Okay.
And so here there were a number of things. Like, I don't even know where to start that didn't happen in good faith or with fair dealing.
Just listen to the last 25 minutes.
Let me real quickly go through it. There was basically no food.
There was a cheese sandwich, Nicole.
There was a cheese sandwich. There was no water. Right. But I guess there was the restaurant beach party that when you first arrived. So.
They were by the ocean. So if they would have brought like a water filter.
Yeah, that.
There'd be water for
So food and water weren't great. There was nowhere to sleep.
Right.
The villas / glamping did not happen. Okay. And there were
the feral
just,
dogs. Don't forget the feral dogs. I don't think they said animal, you know, wildlife, petting zoo.
And I guess probably biggest, there were no artists.
Okay.
Since they were coming for a music festival.
You're right. It was a music festival. I totally forgot about that. Right.
What else?
And then one of the last big ones, negligent misrepresentation. So basically this happens when a person makes false statements, honestly believing that they're true, but without reasonable ground for such belief. And so here, a lot of times I think people will, and by people I mean lawyers, will throw this one in because we're just trying to throw all the claims at you and see what sticks.
Right.
So at the very least, the belief here is you should have known, right? You should have known Billy, you should have known Ja, you should have known Fyre, that you guys, even if you thought you were going to make this all work, no reasonable person would have thought this was going to work. Y'all are delusional.
Well, essentially. Clearly all the consultants were like, yeah, y'all need a year and $50 million. So
exactly. This is a bitch is crazy type of claim.
Well, so one of my favorite parts of the story, I'm now mocking you.
Ooh, you have a favorite part?
I have a favorite part.
I'm so excited.
So basically the attorneys, so Ja Rule, as I said, was included in the class action as a defendant, which means he was one of the parties being sued. And so the attorneys for the plaintiffs, which were the 277 ticket holders, said that because Ja Rule invested in the festival and promoted it so heavily on social media, they thought that he should be named in the lawsuit.
Makes sense to me.
So it turns out November 2019, the judge for the lawsuit dismisses Ja Rule and like basically removes him from the entire thing. The judge basically says that there wasn't enough evidence that anybody bought tickets because of his involvement. I feel like that's shady as fuck.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being like, yeah, Ja Rule, we're actually just dropping you because nobody gives a fuck what you were talking about. You're actually irrelevant. Bye-bye.
Oh, is that how you took it?
That's
you
how I take took it.
And when I saw this or when I read this, I didn't take it that way at all.
So shady to me. It's like Ja Rule. And you're like, yeah, you actually don't matter. Bye, boy.
I love that that's how you interpreted it.
But yep. So I'm also thinking, like, I wonder if it helped that after this all happened, Ja Rule basically hops on Twitter and says, it was not a scam and this is not my fault. Because, you know, what's more ironclad than tweeting that you had nothing to do?
I think you're right.
With this debacle.
I think the judge was perusing Twitter and was like, that makes sense.
Right.
You're out. Poor guy.
It was all scam.
So that's advice to all of our listeners. If you think you're going to be culpable for something, just tweet out.
Tweet your defense.
Not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
That should get you in the clear. Okay, so what else? The CMO that you mentioned, that chief marketing officer, also gets dismissed around the same time. So really, they're going after Billy. Mm-hmm. And then separately, the FBI starts investigating him again in that same month, May 2017, for various fraud charges in connection with this Firefest, mm-hmm. right? Basically, because of how terrible the Firefest went, the FBI was like, something's going on here. Right. Now we're gonna investigate you separate and apart from these class actions that mm-hmm. are brought by the ticket holders, right? And I feel like this is one of your favorite parts. I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna speak for you, because I could hear the way that you would say this, and I almost wanna give it to you, I wanna give it back to you to tell the peoples.
Well,
about what happened to Billy.
Love it. So along the way, Billy was allegedly dropped by a few of his lawyers and advisors over, what do you think?
Having too much money?
A failure to pay. My thing is, like, what dumbasses decided to represent him and work with him when you knew that the FBI was investigating him for fraud and literally lack of millions?
I would definitely not represent him.
There's, like, what is the benefit? In the cost analysis, what are you getting? I just don't understand.
I don't know. Because he did have representation after this. How is that guy getting paid?
Pro bono.
Maybe the publicity?
Maybe. Or like maybe his parents are paying. I think he's supposed to be from like a pretty well-off family.
I mean, he is a white guy from Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. So Billy's arrested in June 2017. Does not take too much time, right? That's like a month, a little over a month.
Yeah.
For fraud.
Super shortly thereafter.
Yep. Fraud and giving false financial information to investors related to the Fyre app and the Fyre Festival. Sadly, one investor, I mean, many investors lost money, but this one investor in particular, he lost his life savings, $180,000.
So sad.
He was in his 50s, so now him and his wife have to keep working into their 70s. That was like part of their testimony.
Well, first of all, a lot of people work into their 70s, so...
Okay, the life savings, $180,000.
No, it's definitely, it's a lot of money, I'm not going to lie, but I also feel like...
Are we going to work into our 70s? I don't want to do that.
Dear God, no.
Okay, so...
How old are we now? We're like barely making it
now. We're 69.
We're not even mid-30s.
We got a few years left in us. Okay, so if that's not bad enough, while he's on bail from these initial fraud charges that you just spelled out from us, it comes out that from late 2017... after the charges are already against him, until early 2018, Billy also started and ran a company called NYC VIP Access that sold fake tickets to the Super Bowl, Coachella, Burning Man, and the Met Gala.
Also, like, FYI, peeps, the Met Gala is literally invite only from Anna Wintour. Like, she actually sits down with the seating chart and chooses who's going to go.
Right. Poor thing. Maybe they thought they were transferable?
Well, so I heard in one instance, basically two customers flew from Florida to New York for the Grammys and got turned away at the door.
Oof.
So can you imagine you like get there in your black tie attire and they're like, yeah, we don't see your name, bro. Right.
You've been posting on social media because of course you're stunting.
Right. You've and like then, done a whole, like a story the entire day.
You're like, be jealous, bitches.
Right.
And
right.
People are after like, so where are the fucking photos? Where are the receipts?
How was it?
Yeah.
Like, it was great. It was great. We couldn't take any pictures. They took our phones away from us.
Oh, smart. You need to run a PR firm. That was pretty good.
Well, so Billy ends up pleading guilty in 2018 to multiple counts of fraud, which result in about approximately $27 million in losses from around 100 investors / victims.
Ouch.
So the fraud charges included several counts of wire fraud in connection with the Fyre app and the Fyre Festival.
Okay.
And so wire fraud is just a type of fraud that involves the use of some form of like telecommunications or the internet.
Okay.
And so he's got one count of that wire fraud that's related to the NYC VIP access where he was selling, you know, the fake tickets to the events and people were getting turned away at the door.
Okay.
And then he had one count of bank fraud for writing a check with a name and account number of one of his employees without their authorization.
Ooh, nice guy. All right. So you just gave us an example of some of the allegations that he ended up pleading guilty to, mm-hmm. but let's get into some of the evidence against him because I feel like this stuff is really fun and we could go on and on, but let's just do some highlights. Yeah. So give us one.
So apparently he provided falsified income statements to investors that purported to show that Fyre Media had earned millions of dollars in income from talent bookings, but in reality the income was about $57,000.
Oof. Oof.
A little different.
A little bit different, yep. And then I read on top of that, he provided falsified documents to investors showing over 2,500 confirmed talent bookings in a single month. 1 month.
That's so many.
Over 2,500 bookings.
Okay.
When in fact, guess how much? There were only 60 confirmed talent bookings in the entire year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A little different.
I can see the math there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so he also told certain investors that he had sold Magnesis, which remember was that credit card company, for approximately $40 million and made a profit of several million from that sale personally.
Okay.
When in reality, he hadn't sold Magnesis at all.
Right. Because what is there to sell? Well, hopes and dreams.
As you said, they made like, what, $60,000 from it? So I don't, yeah. Okay.
Right. Who wants that? He also used inflated revenue numbers to induce a ticket vendor to pay $2 million for a block of advance tickets for future festivals. Hmm. So basically, hey, pay now, get a discount, because we're going to have a bunch of stuff lined up in the future.
Right, and then sell them to your people.
Yep.
To like, but no, customers for
no
profit.
Future. Hmm. There's no future.
Well, okay, so he's got all of these charges against him, right? And as we said, he's got some pretty damning evidence. It's not looking good. So in true literally scumbag lawyer approach.
Billboard lawyer?
This really drives me crazy. When I was reading about this part, like, turned my stomach. So before sentencing, the lawyers basically said that Billy has untreated bipolar disorder and that it prevents him from knowing right versus wrong. So they asked for leniency, which basically just means to be easier when it comes to the sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked that he has 6 months of home confinement or really minimal prison time.
Mm.
And the lawyers basically say that he made a genuine effort to use these investors' money, even though it was all based on, A, fraudulent statements, and B, a super fucking flawed business plan, and that he had taken part in some charitable acts.
Okay, they probably didn't say fraudulent, but they probably said flawed. I'm like,
adding the words in.
You're getting a little upset here as you're telling this, huh?
I'm adding the words in because I hate
people. You're not buying this.
I think that there's such a stigma already. I'm not going to stand on my soapbox for too long. There's such a stigma in our country already about people with mental health issues and struggles. And I think to basically say that, like, this guy lied to people for years involving millions of dollars and thousands of people because of bipolar disorder is just so – it's just super distasteful, and I'm, like, not fucking here for
it. Right, like, all people with bipolar disorder are stealing $27 million from people and taking away life savings and stranding people on islands.
And don't know what right versus wrong is and also have, like, no remorse. I don't think that that's really what the – what's that thing called, that book?
What book?
You know?
About remorse?
No. You know the medical book? The DM...
DMCA. The takedown notice from Chloe?
No.
It's, yeah, the medical book.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. We're not doctors, clearly.
Clearly. I feel like this is like an attempt for that affluenza. Remember when that was the defense?
Yeah.
For like the rich kids?
Yep.
That's what I'm getting here. I'm like, no. Not bipolar.
I would rather they just say that.
Yeah, just cop
to it. Just be like, he's rich and white.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Sorry.
He'll probably get more people feeling sorry for him. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he is white. Yeah. I didn't realize.
So many struggles.
Yeah.
How cute.
Poor guy. He's just trying to make it.
Well, so on the other hand, the prosecutors asked for at least 11 years prison term.
Okay.
And they said that, you know, he betrayed and deceived his investors, customers, employees, and he's living basically a high life of luxury at his apartment, traveling to all these exclusive locations, staying at luxury hotels, being chauffeured in Maseratis, etc. And so they say that on top of all this, he clearly lacks remorse. Well, I guess for two reasons. One, they had a legitimate forensic psychologist come in and say that Billy didn't say, like, think that what he did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like you probably don't lack remorse if you keep scamming people after you've been caught for some
That's
major scams.
Right. This is over the course of 6 years, and he continued to do it. Like we said, the whole, like, NYC events scam happened after the Fire Festival.
Right, right.
Does that look like remorse?
No.
I don't think so. So the judge refuses, luckily, to reduce his sentence, but he gives him 6 years in prison. So not the maximum, the 11 that they were asking for, so six, right?
Mm-hmm.
The judge calls him a serial fraudster and talks about the fact that he kept committing crimes while out on bail. And this is my second favorite part because I feel like that's something my grandpa would say. Like,
can I say youngsters?
Yeah, like, oh, you're a serial fraudster, Sonny. I don't think you've learned your lesson. To prison you go.
So random.
Fraudster. And if you look on his Wikipedia, actually, Google Wikipedia, Billy McFarlane, in parentheses, it says fraudster.
That's like his profession?
I'm not joking. It says fraudster.
I love him. Wikipedia gets shady.
Even Wikipedia is like, fuck you.
Love it.
So he goes to jail in Ohio at federal prison.
Mm-hmm.
So he's there chilling. And then while he's dealing with this court case against him, he also ends up settling with the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, in 2018. Basically, Billy and two of his lackeys agree to pay back $26 million to the people they defrauded.
Okay. In the words of Kanye, houseway. Houseway. How the fuck are you going to pay back $26 million? Mm-mm. When you can't even pay your fucking lawyers to keep you out of jail.
Right. That's the saddest part of all, right? These people are just not going to get that money back.
No.
Nope.
No. Well, so after Billy goes to jail, the whole world obviously learns this event. I mean, first of all, people were learning of it as it happened because of right. the, you know, the, it was tweet, everywhere. The tweet about the cheese sandwich.
The cheese sandwich is what got me. I saw the cheese sandwich. I was like, who would serve that? What's going on? That's how I got lured.
There may have been some tweets about feral dogs, too. Who knows? But so Netflix and Hulu naturally hop all over this.
Always on it.
And they immediately make documentaries about the festival. And so, you know, they're really interviewing people who, like, organized the festival and worked at the event, both from the U.S. Fire Festival side of things, but mm-hmm. also, like, the local people, on, you know, the in Bahamas who were doing, like, the food catering and stuff like that.
Right. Did you watch?
I obviously watched the Hulu one.
Oh, it's obvious.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I was super into it.
Was the Hulu, I watched one of them, I can't remember now. Which one was the one that they interviewed him in? Was it Hulu or Netflix?
I don't remember them interviewing him, so it must have been the Netflix one.
I read, because I watched the one where he was not interviewed.
The Hulu one had the guy basically offering fellatio in exchange for services from Bahamian people.
I did not know if you were going to mention that, but
no, it was in the documentary. I'm not, like, slandering this good man's name.
I didn't say that you were.
I'm just, you know, defaming. I just wanted to, like,
okay, my only point was the one that apparently that he was included in, did the interview, apparently he received money for it. I don't know if that's true. But I read that he did.
I mean, if I'm him, I'm definitely trying to get money out of it. You knew how popular that story was.
Well, he has $26 million to pay back, so I hope he gave his 50 cents toward that $26 million. And then in March 2021, he gives his first TV interview mm-hmm. on ABC called The Con Fire Festival. Mm-hmm. Brilliant name. So he basically acknowledges that he lied to people to raise money. So, all right. Good. Maybe we're feeling a little culpable. He admits that he inflated the numbers about how much money they had and how much they were making to raise to raise more money. Mm-hmm. And he said that he thought people knew it was a lie since they had access to his bank accounts.
Somebody was not doing their diligence. If they honestly had access to his accounts and the real accounts and the real statements, then right. I feel slightly less bad for these people. But also, like, you're still a fucking liar.
But also the entitlement, right? Like, I'm going to lie to these investors and be like, did they have access to your bank? Who had access right. to your bank account? Right. The employee who's, like, you're forging checks? To? Right. Come on, guy.
Right. Well, so this all leads up to now, right? So April this year, basically a settlement is potentially reached in the big class action lawsuit that we've been talking about with the 277 people who are looking for $100 million. Mm-hmm. And so allegedly they agreed to a slightly reduced number of $2 million Oof. For the settlement. Okay. So that equals approximately $7,200 per person.
Okay.
And so they're saying that the $7,200 will basically cover the damages that these people had associated with, you know, the whole festival mm-hmm. debauchery, including purchasing the ticket for air and travel that people may have booked and for, like, other incidental and related damages. Mm-hmm. And so right now it's actually pending the judge's approval. And I think it's worth noting that when you're having a class action or even any lawsuit and you're thinking about having a settlement, you can agree on the settlement between the parties, but you still have to go back to the court. Mm-hmm. And say, court, here's what you decided on. Here's what we're agreeing upon. Like, please put your stamp of approval on it.
Right.
So basically, in any time before May 7th, people have to object to this settlement if they're going to say that it's not fair, it's not enough right. money, whatever the case may be. And then if there are no objections or the judge listens to the objections and decides they're, you know, maybe minimal, they would potentially settle out this entire thing on May 13th.
Okay.
And this is also all pending the outcome of Fyre Festival's bankruptcy case with the creditors because, you know, it's worth noting that he owes so much money to the investors that if he has to pay them first, which you often have to pay creditors first, right. there could basically be no money left to pay out this settlement. And so it may actually never materialize.
Yeah, I think we're not feeling too confident that he's going to be able to pay back any of this realistically. So where do things stand now? Ultimately, he was subject to so many more mm-hmm. lawsuits that we did not touch upon.
Yeah.
More class actions, just, oh my God, it's a lot. Millions of dollars in damages alleging this very similar claims, fraud, breach of contract, just a lot.
Yeah.
And at least 14 lawsuits were filed against talent agencies, actually, repping the various artists that were supposed to perform at the festival or who were involved in the failed festival, mm-hmm. right? So even the people that were promoting it who may not have appeared there.
Right.
So that includes Emily R, the, you know, Migos, Pusha T, Lil Yachty, and Blink-182. Mm-hmm. They're still around.
Yeah.
And so, again, everybody's just trying to recoup all the money
right.
that
right.
they lost in right. connection with this.
Yeah, good luck to them. I mean, our boy Billy probably also needs some luck. So he recently, and sadly, because let me just say, we do not believe in solitary confinement.
Yeah, this one's rough.
But he recently spent 6 months in solitary from basically the end of 2020 until I think in the past week or two.
Yeah.
And so this kind of stemmed from, so he launches this podcast called Dumpster Fire, spelled like the Fire Festival, naturally, at the end of 2020, where he's talking about everything that happened around the festival. I personally did not know that you could record podcasts from prison.
Right.
Good to know. So if anything happens to us, you can expect to continue to hear our voices.
Right.
It
will be there.
Yeah. So he basically made this by recording various like 15-minute phone calls from, you know, his allotted phone time.
How many 15-minute phone calls did that take, I wonder?
So many.
How long are these episodes?
I can't even imagine. So reportedly, 100% of profits from the podcast were going to the $26 million that he owes to the investor.
I don't buy that. I
mean, well, yeah, he probably made no money. But so apparently the prison was basically saying that the photos and recordings that he took to use in the trailer for the podcast and in the podcast were taken in a way that violated their rules.
Mm.
And so specifically they're saying that he was using three-way calls, which are not allowed apparently, but his lawyer says they never happened. He was taking pictures and posting things to Instagram. The lawyer says he's not sure who's running the account, because I also have questions. How are you running your Instagram account from prison? But basically says that Billy actually is allowed to take pictures with the disposable cameras that they sell in the prison commissary.
Mm-hmm.
And that he can then, like, you know, get them approved by the prison to send them out to, I don't know, friends or whoever could post on his behalf.
That makes sense. But the lawyer didn't think he violated any rules or regulations, right? Like, I feel like he came out and was like, this is not true. This is not fair. You know, investigation did happen around the podcast, but to your point, they didn't, the lawyer's saying that this isn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
And especially too, like, how does this rise to the level of getting solitary?
Yeah.
Because this really just seems very punitive.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Even if all these things were true, 6 months in solitary mm-hmm. seems insane to even do this podcast.
Even for good old Billy.
I mean, look, yeah, we are not fans of him, mm-hmm. but also this is a lot.
Yeah.
So there also seem to be some administrative charges against him for sharing commissary funds, which again, the lawyer also denied. But I can't imagine that even sharing your funds could lead to solitary. So everything's just ridiculous. And it's, I guess, worth noting too that he was previously in solitary for a contraband flash drive. We don't know what was on it, but he did say that the initial, I guess there were, what, was there multiple solitary stints or
there
something?
There was the first stint where he was in there for the flash drive, basically.
Oh, and then he went back.
Yeah, and so he said that during the initial kind of stint where he was in solitary, it caused him to reflect on his mistakes and how much he hurt people. So that was why he wanted to do the podcast.
Oh, yeah, this come to Jesus moment, huh?
Yeah.
So when's this podcast coming out?
When Summer 2023, baby.
Right. I'm marking on my calendar now. I want to make sure I clear it. What's going on with Ja Rule, though? Because I cannot believe he got off. I didn't get to say that.
The judge told me he was irrelevant.
I know you were upset by that, but I'm also like, you promoted it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very surprised. How do you prove that your promotion led to no ticket sales?
I don't know.
That's what I found absurd.
Well, so in 2019, he was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen and said that he wants a second chance to do the festival the right way with the right partners. And this man had the audacity to say, in quotes, here's what I happen to know.
Okay, tell me.
I have the biggest festival in the world, even though it never happened.
What? What?
How do you have the biggest festival in the world, my guy?
My favorite... No, this is really my favorite thing. Andy replies with, I mean, it's like calling a ship the Titanic.
Andy is shady.
So would you go if Ja throws a second festival?
I'm not going to anything that Ja Rule is throwing. This is pre-fire festival, post-fire festival, back in middle school. I'm good.
Yeah, then he jokes about the lawsuit he's dismissed from, right? And he's not giving people refunds in a song for your real entertainment, in parentheses, fire. So, like, how serious, even if you had nothing to do with it, this is just really insensitive.
Yeah.
Like, people lost so much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel sorry for the guy.
Nope, not even a little bit.
I don't. And then, okay, you got to break this down because I do not understand NFTs to save my life.
Well, so in March, he basically sold an original painting that he had commissioned with the fire logo for around $122,000 using like this whole NFT venture. And so basically, moral of the story is he's broke and he needs money. So he's trying to get on the NFT scheme, which I also don't understand. I just know that things are digital and things are being sold.
Tokens, yeah.
I did see that the girl... This is really quick. You know the little girl who's like standing in front of the building that's on fire and she like has that like mischievous look in her eye.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apparently,
funny one.
Yeah, hilarious. It's like one of my favorite memes.
I love that one. Yeah.
Apparently the woman whose like childhood picture that was sold her that like NFT
copyright
this week for like $500,000.
People bought that copyright.
Yes. And my thing is, like, first of all, where were my parents when there was a burning building? Why was I not placed in front of one? I could also use $500,000 right now.
Now we need to go around shaking glass doors and looking for burning homes just to get into
me. We've got all the things to do.
We've got a lot of plans here.
Well, so similarly.
I was going to say, speaking of NFTs.
More NFTs. Basically, the tweet of the cheese sandwich dinner from the Fyre Festival was... Yeah. Is being auctioned off as an NFT. Sadly, it's because the guy is having a kidney transplant, so he actually legitimately needs the money for that.
Good for him. I mean,
and then hope. Also sad, Kendall Jenner.
Also sad. Stop that. Nothing. You cannot say also sad and then ever end that with Kendall Jenner.
I mean, they're a sad family. Okay. Well, so she got paid approximately $250,000 for an Instagram post that she later deleted, which was promoting the Fyre Festival.
Also a defense. If you post it and then you delete it from the internet, it never happened.
And so she later has to settle basically in a lawsuit for $90,000.
Poor thing. Yeah. I wonder if she needs a GoFundMe.
I don't know. Her and Chloe are having like a real rough time right now. If you haven't listened to the Chloe episode, go.
Yeah, go listen to Chloe. So anyway, the reason why she has to settle, she's sued by the trustee in that bankruptcy case, who says she didn't disclose to her followers that she was being paid for advertising the festival. Mm-hmm. And there's also a claim that she intentionally misinformed the public about claiming that Kanye would perform via Good Music Family. And I think hers was a little bit more complicated because hers came with a promo code.
Right.
So people felt like she was more culpable in this. But let's be real. She's not looking at her deals. She's probably seen the money signs and thinking, yeah, let's do this.
It's definitely a little fucked up to me that she got $250 and then only had to settle for $90. Like,
right.
I don't know. It feels like she should have had to return the entire thing to the investors or I don't know.
That was a good deal for her.
Great deal. Just for her to press post. To and scam? I'm sure she didn't even fuck into it. Her social media intern probably
Imagine
did it.
Scamming and making true money from it and no consequence.
Crazy. Well, so last, unfortunately, there was all these workers in the island, right? Like the Bahamian people. And so they're not actually sure that any of the settlement money from the one with the 277 ticket holders will make its way to them. And so basically some of the vendors have since come out and said that they lost like small fortunes in the process, right? Because they're buying all this food and all these supplies. And so one of the caterers actually raised like $237,000on GoFundMe, which I think she was trying to give out to like other people who also needed it.
Yeah, they did. She didn't keep the majority of them.
Mm-hmm. And then some people received like small donations basically from people who felt bad that they were scammed too. But some of them hadn't received any money at all after working for months and buying materials. So it's just all a mess. And I think there's so many victims in this situation between the investors, the people who bought tickets, and the workers on the island that, like...
The vendors.
It's just a mess.
Lot. Even medical personnel. Again, we did not touch on... We got, like, to a little dent of all the lawsuits involved.
Right.
But there are a lot of pending lawsuits. But as we know, lawsuits are expensive. Mm-hmm. So the vendors, especially on this island, I think, are probably having a way tougher time.
Yeah.
Then it's hard to be as sympathetic for even the ticket holders as, you know, the vendors on the island who don't have that many resources.
Right.
So it's just sad all around. So... All right. I feel like that's a pretty good summary, unless you think we need to do another one. But I feel like
Billy
McFarlane is a scammer.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see if the judge is going to approve this $2 million settlement.
And if he does, even if he does, is it going to be paid out?
Right.
Because Billy owes so much money.
Right.
And how is it going to go with the bankruptcy? And what assets are they going to acquire? And is he going to continue to try to do a podcast? I don't know. We'll see. All right. So
what's your advice, my friend?
My advice for people is to only book weekend two for any music festival.
Fair.
Just play it safe. See how weekend one...
The first weekend right out.
Weekend one's going to look real good, right? You're going to be like, I want to be the first ones to post. But you could be stranded on an island eating, you know, sharing a cheese sandwich with a feral dog. Mm-hmm. So book weekend two.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I would say if you're going to serve people the cheese sandwich and say that it's luxury, at least put it on a glass plate.
Oh, glass.
I think it was the styrofoam that really fucked it all up for them.
Is that what did it for you?
Mm-hmm.
The cheese sandwich.
If they had a crystal plate, I would have been like, hey, this isn't so bad.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, feel free to connect with us on our socials at Legally Judgy. Until next time.
Bye.